Take your Bibles this morning. Open up with me to Psalm 127, if you would. Psalm 127. With this being Mother's Day, we're going to leave our Go to Grow series of messages for a special Mother's Day message. To begin with, I'd like to open up with something called Principles of Motherhood. And tell me, mothers, if you identify with these. It starts out this way: motherhood. If it was going to be easy, it never would have started with something called labor. Shouting to make your child obey is like using the horn to steer your car, and you get about the same results. The smartest advice on raising children is to enjoy them while they're still on your side. Raising a teenager is like trying to nail Jell-O to a tree. Any child can tell you that the sole purpose of a middle name is so that they can tell when they are really in trouble. And then the last one says, cleaning your house while your kids are at home is like trying to shovel the driveway during a snowstorm. Story is told about a little girl. One day she's sitting watching her mother do the dishes, and she notices something. She says, "Mommy, how's come you're getting white hair?" Mother doesn't break a pace. She just keeps washing the dishes. She says, "Well, honey," she says, "every time that you disobey Mommy, every time that you make Mommy sad, another white hair appears." The little girl was real silent for a minute, and she got to thinking. Their eyes got real big, and she says, "Wow, Grandma's got a lot of white hairs." The smart mother says, "Yeah, and consider who your aunts and uncles are, right?" This morning, today, we want to celebrate Mom, and I want you to do this with a little bit of a different approach. You didn't realize this, but I used the song service to set up the main points of the message this morning. Each of the songs and their titles, as we sang this morning, is about knowing the Lord as our Savior and about the walk that we should have with the Lord. However, we are going to take the song titles out of their context. You can do that. It's not scripture. It's a song. So we're going to take the song titles out of their context and use those to apply them to our mothers and to think about what those songs are telling us about Mom. For instance, the very first song that we sang this morning, do you remember without looking at your bulletin? Count your blessings, all right? So in Psalm 127 in verse 3, the Bible says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Go over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs, chapter 31, and verse 28. Count your blessings. Proverbs 31, verse 28. The Bible says of the Proverbs 31 woman, her children arise up and call her what? Blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth. Count your blessings. Children are a blessing for several reasons, and not for necessarily the reasons that you might think. So kids, don't look at your parents and go, "Uh-huh, I'm a blessing. Preacher said so." I'm going to tell you why you're a blessing, but it's not for why you might think. They are a blessing, first of all, because they are created in the image of God. That's why they're a blessing. They are a blessing because God superintended their creation, and God is the one who brought them into this world. They are a blessing because God gave them to you, moms, and to your home as a gift. And motherhood is a blessing because God used you as the vehicle to get them here. That's why children are a blessing. Now, that's pretty awesome when you think about it. Today, moms, it's an opportunity for you to recount your blessings. However, I think we have to be very, very careful with this as we talk about you counting your blessings. In Christian Woman magazine, I was reading it online this past week, no comments, I was just looking for illustrations for Sunday message. A lady by the name of Adrienne Gross wrote an article, and the title was a little bit shocking. The title was this: "Motherhood is a blessing, but it is not my highest calling." Motherhood is a blessing, but it is not my highest calling. And as I read that, at first, I mean, just the title alone is what made me read the article, because I thought, well, That was a little shocking. But here's how the article goes. It's just a little bit lengthy. Bear with me, but listen to the points. And she makes some fantastic points here, and I'd never thought of it like this. She said, "I've begun asking myself lately, is motherhood truly the highest calling for a Christian woman?" You hear this concept tossed around conservative Christian circles regularly, and I believe it is one of those maxims that is repeated so often that people begin to think that they saw it in the Bible somewhere. But having read the Bible in its entirety a few times, I know I've never actually seen the scripture that declares this to be true. Yes, motherhood is a blessing, and we should celebrate the power of a mother's love. But I think that there is a danger in referring to motherhood as a woman's highest calling instead of God's calling for some women for this reason. And she gives several. The first one is this. Labeling motherhood as a woman's highest calling mitigates our primary calling as a Christian and members of God's kingdom. She writes, "Our God-given purpose as followers of Christ is to love the Lord with all of our hearts, mind, soul, body, and strength." Kind of sounds like the series of messages we're on in Sunday mornings. "To glorify the Lord in our words and actions, to enjoy Him forever, to share the gospel and make disciples of Jesus. Motherhood is just one of the many avenues through which our highest calling can be accomplished." She then goes on and says this, "Labeling motherhood as a woman's highest calling alienates women who are not mothers." She says, "Not all women are or will ever become mothers, but the Lord has surely gifted those women with other desires and ministries that serve Him just as well as raising children. They are every bit as valuable to Him and even have a special opportunity to serve Him in ways that a woman who has children cannot, because they are not as encumbered or stretched for time." Here's another one to think about. If an individual believes that motherhood is the highest calling for a woman, she says this, then labeling motherhood as a woman's highest calling discourages empty nesters. Eventually, they're going to leave. Right? I know you're saying, oh, I hope so. And others of you say, yeah, but they come back. What happens with the empty nesters? If being a mother is your highest calling and they're all gone, so then all of a sudden now you no longer have a highest calling? Well, that's not biblical. And this other one, labeling motherhood as a woman's highest calling feeds the impossible supermom phenomenon. Some of our moms know what it is to be compared to those who are viewed as supermom and to feel like they somehow don't measure up. And so, you know, supermom, oh, she's the Susie Homemaker, and she's always in an apron, and she's always got flower dust on her face, and her bun is always just a little disheveled, and she's got 20 kids running around her, and you know, she's making homemade this and homemade that, and she's just, oh, everybody needs to measure up to supermom. And you say, wow, I'm not supermom. I must not have made it to my highest calling. See how that works against an individual? Find any of that in Scripture, and it's not there. But let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3, and I could add one more to that list. The Bible said there in Psalms that children are a blessing. It doesn't say children are the blessing. And I know the kids would probably say, oh, yes, I am. I am the greatest thing that ever happened in your life. The Bible doesn't say that, young'un. The Bible says that you are a blessing, a heritage from the Lord. It doesn't say you're the. So get off your little ego trip, and moms, don't look at your kid and say, they are the blessing. Like you couldn't get any grander, greater of a blessing there is. I'm not saying they're not a blessing. But that's like saying, if you don't have that, you ain't got nothing. It's like, well, then that sure puts out other women and the empty nesters and puts them in a lower category, and that's not right. That isn't biblical. Philippians chapter 3. Look what it says here, what the Apostle Paul says is the highest calling. It isn't just for men, it's for women as well. He says in verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Now, ladies, would you have to put your children in that category as well? Would you have to put your husband in that category? Would you have to put your job? Would you have to put everything else in that category? What things were gained to me, those I counted lost. Didn't just count them lost for no reason. I counted them lost for Christ. Why? Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Listen, Christian, right there's the highest calling. That's our highest calling. Male and female, that's our highest calling. To know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior first and foremost, do you this morning? And then once we know Christ as our Lord and Savior, to be living in such a way that we want to grow in our walk with Christ. We want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. Now, do you not think, Christian mom, do you not think that if that is your highest calling, that motherhood's going to go a whole lot better for you? If living our life for the Lord Jesus Christ, count your blessings. Yes, children are a blessing. Absolutely. But you've got so many other blessings in life, and the greatest blessing that you can have is to know Jesus Christ first, and then secondly, to be living an all-out, give all, lay it all in surrender to Him kind of a life. That is our highest calling. Being a mom is a blessing, but make sure that that is not your highest calling. Living for Jesus is. Here's the second one. You may have the joy bells was the second song that we sang. Go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23. As you're turning to Proverbs chapter 23, moms, got a vote on this this morning. How many of you want your children to be a joy to you? Oh, look at it. I think every mom's hand went up. Good. Okay. Naturally, you would want your children to be a joy to you. In Proverbs chapter 23, the Bible tells us how those children can be a joy to you. And this is where moms, you can listen up, but kids, this is where you really have to listen. Because it says here in Proverbs 23, verse 22, "Hearken unto thy father that beget thee. Despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." You want mom to be happy, right? And that's from one of our senior adults that said that. I didn't hear a younger one say that. Glad for one. How about the rest of you? Do you want mom to be happy? Okay. Those of you 18 years of age and younger, do you want mom to be happy? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, do you realize this is up to you? Whether or not your mother knows joy is up to you. Because the Bible tells us here that kids who are righteous, who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and are living lives that reflect a walk with the Lord, that will cause mom to rejoice. Kids who listen to the instructions of their mothers and are obedient, that will cause mom to rejoice. Children who are wise and make wise decisions, that'll cause mom to rejoice. Kids who do not disrespect their mothers, especially when those mothers are old, that will bring joy to the mom. These are the kids that give joy to mom. And if these things are absent, if it's just the opposite, if the kids aren't saved, if they're not walking with the Lord, if they're not listening, if they're not making wise decisions, if they are disrespectful to their parents, you can forget your mom having any joy. And you say, but I bought her a nice card. I got her flowers. I got her a really nice gift. You might as well saved your money because it didn't do a lick of good. It didn't put joy in her heart because the things that bring joy are missing. Now, I'm not suggesting you take the gift back. All right, that would be cruel. Don't do that. What I am saying is, this is a good kick in the pants to say, I got to get things together in my life. And by the way, we're all, Brother Justin, I love how he opened that this morning. We're all somebody's kid, right? All right, so it's not just that I'm talking to 18 years of age and under. All of us are somebody's kid. We want mom to rejoice. If mom is still alive here on planet Earth, we want mom to rejoice. And I've never known any mother to say, oh, my kid's just way too good. They listen to me too much. They are just too respectful. Oh, I just hate that. I have never known any mother to say that. Just the opposite. Mother's Day is either a joyful day or it's a sad day for a mom. Here's the third song we sang. Remember what it was? I love to tell the story. Go to the book of Titus, chapter 2. I love to tell the story. Now, we know that that song is talking about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is about knowing Christ as Savior. It is about telling the gospel message, what happened in our life, telling that to other people. That is the context of the song. We understand that. But I love to tell the story. Do moms love to talk about their children? Yes, they do. And grandparents, do they love to talk about their grandkids? Yeah, they do. So, in Titus chapter 2, let's take a look at this. Verses 3 and 4, the Bible says here, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. The older ladies of the church have a valuable job, and it is your job to do these things, to instruct the younger women in these things. And if you feel that you fit into the aged category, and I'm not going to give numbers for that, it's Mother's Day, and the rest of you would say, well, I'm not aged, good, then you're in that other category. And that means if you're saying, I'm not aged, then that means shut up and listen. When the aged women come up to you and try to put an arm around you and say, honey, can I talk to you? What right do they have to say? Titus chapter 2 gives them the right. Well, I know what I'm doing. Evidently not. Evidently you need a little bit of help, a little bit of guidance, a little bit of wisdom and experience talking. Listen to it. They're just doing their job that the Bible gives them to do, and then teaching them to love their husbands. I don't know that I like that verse. What do you mean teaching them to love their husbands? Well, aren't we all just a bunch of lovable guys? What do you mean teaching them? Well, we're going to be talking about this tonight in the message, the marriage tune-up message. Teaching them to love their husbands. Maybe we could toss in there teaching them how to love their husbands, because husbands need to be loved in a different way than wives get loved on, all right? The things, for instance, being Mother's Day, the things that were done for mom for Mother's Day are not going to communicate love to the average dad sitting here. So when it's Father's Day, don't say, oh, well, I'll just do what I did for mom. No, it don't work that way, because you don't communicate to the guy the same way that you communicate to the ladies. Right, guys? You don't want a basket of flowers. How many of you guys want a corsage to wear for Father's Day? That's what I thought. Okay. We'll get you a nice little bouquet. You can pin it to your lapel or a wrist corsage. No. That wouldn't communicate love. You would look at the females of the family and say, what's wrong with you? Yeah, why would you do this? I don't understand. So teaching them how to love not only their husbands, but to love their kids. You mean we have to be taught how to love our kids? Learning how to love the kids. That's something that the older women of the church are supposed to teach the younger ones. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's speaking of this from a guy's perspective as how he had taken care of the church here of Thessalonica. But he puts this in very motherly terms. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Now, that's not talking about a nurse that you're going to find up at the hospital. It's talking about a nursing mother, as a nursing mother cares for her children. And he says, this is how we took care of you. It is with that tenderness and that love. A teacher asked a boy a question in school. She says, okay, here's the question I'm putting out. She says, let's say that you've got a pie, and that pie is for your family, and there's seven of you in the family, your parents and five children. What part of the pie do you get? Mom, or the teacher's obviously teaching fractions on this day. And the boy puts his hand up in the air and he says, I would get a sixth of the pie. And the teacher says, I don't think you understand your fractions very well. There's seven of you in the family. How much of the pie would you get? And he said, a sixth. She says, you're not understanding your fractions. He says, you're not understanding my mother. She would say, I don't need any pie, so that the rest of us would get a bigger piece. And isn't that true? That is so very true. No offense to the guys, but we know that typically the injured, hurting child does not go to good old dad. When the child needs comfort, when the child needs sympathy, when the child needs cared for, who do they go to? They go to mom. Why? Because mom has compassion and caring that can be felt. The love can be felt. And that's not to say, gentlemen, that you don't love your children every bit as much as mom does. But mom has a love that can be felt. And that's the way it ought to be. And that's the way it is with moms. But you know what? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 22. If we say that it's a love that can be felt, well, we feel things in different ways, don't we? And in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15, it tells us another way that that love is felt. In Proverbs 22, verse 15, the Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Go to chapter 29. Look at verse 15. Chapter 29 and verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. I know dad is always thought of as the disciplinarian, and you know the old story is, wait till your father gets home. Yeah, I waited till my dad got home to get it twice. Mom started, dad finished, you know. Moms, if you love your kid, will you discipline them? Let me tell you, scripturally speaking, if you won't discipline them, the Bible says you don't love them. You don't love them. If you will not discipline that child, then you're showing you don't love them. Oh, I do too. Some of you are getting real defensive about that. Don't get defensive about it. Read your Bible. How does it show love to let a child continue to do the things that are wrong, to do the things that are bad, to not discipline their body, to discipline their behind if necessary? What does that show to them? How does that show them love to just let them get away with whatever they want to do and just to shake your head and say, I just don't know what to do? Well, if you don't know what to do, let me give you a quick schooling on that. It's real simple. God provided a place for the discipline to be applied. You ever notice that it is normally the most padded place on any of our bodies? There's a reason, not just so it'd be comfortable to sit upon, but so that it could absorb the shock. And you say, well, what do I apply to that? Whatever you got. Whatever is handy. And it can be a lot of things at the moment when it's necessary. But you get their attention. It's amazing how you can get to their mind and their heart through their butt. It is amazing. God created a great channel there, you know, just perfect. It shows love to discipline them. So I love to tell the story, moms. You love to tell the story. You love to tell them how much you love them. You love to show them how much you love them. And you know what? Every time that you discipline them, you've said it before, this hurts me. And the child is thinking, yeah, right, let's swap places. And for the child's edification and education, they were once in your place. They understand. They were once there too. Because every one of your adult parents used to be your age. Might have been a long time ago, but they were once your age. And they went through exactly what you're going through because they had a parent that disciplined them, because you love them. All right, Proverbs 31. You're in Proverbs now, just over a couple chapters to chapter 31. The last song we sang is Work for the Night is Coming. Oh, moms, do you work because the night is coming? Proverbs 31, verse 10, the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Again, we apply that to the original intent of the song, and it's talking about the work that we do for the Lord. But moms, you know, you work many times for the night is coming. There are schedules, there are deadlines, there are things that have to be done. And so our mothers, your hardworking ladies. Now guys, don't get all up in arms. We know you are too. We know you are too, but is this Father's Day? No. So get over yourself. This is for moms. We are applauding the hard work that they do. And moms do work hard, right? Guys, does mama work hard?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. That was good. Think about, though, how a mother's work is never done and how it changes throughout the years. During the very early years, it consists of diapers, endless feedings, bottles, and sleepless nights. As time progresses, it becomes feeding frenzies with growing numbers of friends that show up at the house and they all want to eat, and lots of shuttling to various activities, and again, more sleepless nights. And then it becomes sleepless nights waiting for a car to pull up in the driveway. And then when a child moves out of the house, they move even deeper into the heart. And the nights are still sleepless. The greatest work any of us will ever do in those sleepless hours is prayer. It's prayer. In Colossians chapter 1, let me just read the passage to you real quick. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, the scripture tells us this. It says in Colossians 1, verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul says, we prayed for you night and day. Susanna Wesley had a rough life due to many things, especially due to the guy that she married and the consequences of that man. The man was actually a preacher. But when you read the story of his life, very, very sad what kind of a man that he was. It didn't dissuade her from being the mom to her 10 children. Nine, she had a total of 19. Nine passed away. When Susanna was young, she had promised the Lord that for every hour that she spent in entertainment, she would give Him an hour in prayer and in the Word. Taking care of the house and raising these 10 children, she realized she didn't have any time for entertainment. So therefore, what's she going to do? Because now she doesn't have any time for the Lord either, because her time is gobbled up by these 10 kids. And so she decided this. She told the Lord that every day she would give Him 2 hours in prayer. Now, where in the world is a woman with 10 kids back in this time period going to find a place to pray and have quiet time with the Lord? So she developed this system. She had these aprons, and she would pull the apron up over her head. And her children were instructed, whenever Mama has the apron on her head, stay away. Mama's time with the Lord is now. And so throughout her life, she would take the apron and she'd pull it up over her head, and she'd spend those 2 hours with the Lord. Out of this great work came John and Charles Wesley. Would you say that the work was worth it? And I wonder this morning, do we see that the work is worth it? In just a minute, we're going to be singing or hearing the invitation hymn, I Surrender All. That's not just for moms. It's for all who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Will we surrender all? Will we surrender those little blessings to the Lord? Once again, regardless of how old or how grown up those little blessings might be. Will we surrender the immediate joys of what we could have with the children to discipline them so that the joys could be in the future and lasting? Will we surrender to the greatest work that we'll ever do, the work of prayer? Will we surrender? Moms, these songs are just mere reminders of how much you are appreciated and why you are appreciated and the great work that God has called you to do and the work for which we are thankful that you do. But maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, whether a mom, a dad, a kid, whatever age, doesn't matter. But you don't know Christ as Savior. And you don't know what it is to have God's joy in you. You don't know what it is to have a surrendered life to the Lord so that the Lord can use you. And today needs to be the day that you would surrender to the Lord, that you would see your need for salvation, not to make mom happy, not to make dad happy, not to make anybody else happy, but to be pleasing to the one who made you, who created you in your mother's womb, who created you for the purpose of knowing Him as Savior, and for the purpose of the one who died on a cross for your sins and was buried in a tomb and rose again from the grave. For Him, and Him alone, you need to be saved. Would this be the morning of salvation, lost person? Would you allow us to take you aside and introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ? Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, you know the need of every person that's here. Lord, we first of all want to say thank you for the mothers represented here, but represented by the families that are here. And we just ask this morning, Lord, that our mothers, our dads, kids, that everyone here is a believer in Christ, would be surrendered to you. And Lord, for that one that's here that doesn't know Jesus as Savior, may this be the day of salvation for them. We pray, Lord, that they would reject you no longer. And we pray and ask it all in the name of Jesus.